Meyer from Stillmeyer Games, and today I am live a little earlier than normal. Today is Tuesday, August 24th. Normally I go live on Wednesday, but I wanted to join you today. I'm not available tomorrow at the exact time when I'm normally doing this live cast, so I thought I'd join you a little bit earlier. But I really value the time that I spend with you on these chats every week. I always learn something from you, and I love seeing the comments and the questions that you have. So I wanted to do this video this week, even though I'm not available at this time slot tomorrow. So I'll probably be here for about 30 minutes or so today, and maybe you're not normally available on the Wednesday live cast. I might be joining for the first time. That'll be cool. It'll be neat to see you here for the first time. Usually I have a few, if you're new to this, I have a few random topics that I cover, things that are going on at Stillmeyer Games, games that I'm playing, things that I posted recently. Hi Donna, thanks for joining me. And I also have a visual today related to the Wingspan nesting box that I'll show in a little bit. So what is going on at Stillmeyer Games? So the biggest thing that I've been working on over the last week is coordinating and the proofreading process and proofreading for an upcoming product. Not going to say what product that is yet, but you could probably guess if you look at the progress charts on our website. But yeah, so that's a kind of an intense period near the end of the project where we send the files to proofreaders, and then we have them type. We have the revisions typeset, and then we have those revisions proofread, and so on. And I'm reviewing them every time. I'm reviewing the revisions that the proofreaders make. I approve them, or I change them, or delete them, and then I review the files that I get from our typesetter as well, our graphic designer Christine. So that's an intense process, but we are just finished it, and we were sending those files to the printer. I think today. I think we're sending it to the files to the printer today. The other thing I've been working on quite a bit is, in particular yesterday and today, is getting some playtest reports for two products that we're working on. So getting blind playtest reports from people around the world who have playtested two different products and offered their anecdotal and data-driven feedback on those two products. So I'm compiling that information and deciding what to do with it, which is always a fun process. Hi, Par, Paul, and George. Thanks for joining me today. As you may have missed, if you're joining me right now, I am usually live on Wednesdays at 10 a.m. St. Louis time, but I'm not available at that exact time tomorrow, and so I thought I'd pop on here today for a short video just to see if there's anything that you all want to discuss, because I really do value these conversations with you every week. Freddie is here too. So what else is going on? So some of the things that I've been posting about recently, I did a blog post yesterday on the Stillmeyer Games blog about some revisions, some corrections I had to a recent Slate article regarding a very kind of odd paragraph in a Slate article, and an otherwise wonderful Slate article about Elizabeth Hargrave and Wingspan. And so I wanted to correct a few things there and share what I learned from reading that paragraph. And what I learned is that I'm compelled now to offer. To be more direct about offering advances to the designers after we officially sign a contract for a game or product with another designer. That's something that I've offered in kind of a loosey-goosey way in the past. I've said to the designer, like, if you want an advance, I'm happy to give you one. But now we're just officially going to do it. And the starting threshold, the threshold I will aim for is a $10,000 advance to our designers. That might depend a little bit on the product. Like if it's a $10 product that we expect to sell 1,000 of, then we're never gonna make up that advance on royalties. It's an advance on royalties. So I did a blog post about that, goes deeper into that topic. And I also did a blog post last week about the idea of having a strategic delay in when you share your Kickstarter project or your crowdfunding project. Given that both GameFound and Kickstarter now, if you sign up in advance to get a launch notification, you get it automatically when the project launches. And I see a value in having an added delay, like an hour or two delay, in terms of when you actually send your e-newsletter notifying all your general followers that the project is live. Because then when they show up at the project, they can see that a lot of people are already there. I saw Aridia do this recently. Cody at Far Off Games did this for Aridia, and I thought it was really clever. So I wanted to talk about that on my blog. Chris says, how are my cats and my dad? My cats are doing well. Biddy is just off camera here, but he is passed out on my chair. There's some roofers on our building today, so Walter is very scared and hiding from those roofers inside under the bed today. And my dad is doing well. I had a nice chat with him over FaceTime on Sunday, and it's amazing to see how he is, I guess one way to say it is how he's able to present himself. Because I know he doesn't always feel good, but given that the cancer that he's going through, he's a trooper. He's doing as well as you can with the intense cancer that he has. Ben says, book 6 of Red Rising is pending release. Any expansion or promo cards for that book after it drops? The Mad Minotaur Calls My Name. So our strategy here is that we are waiting for book 6 of Red Rising to release as well. We being Alex and I, my co-designer for Red Rising. And once it does, we're going to read it. We're going to probably reread books 4 and 5 or reread some good recaps for those books because they're pretty long books. And decide what we want to do. We really don't know. We don't have anything planned at this point. We kind of want to see what happens. Not that the game is plot driven, but I guess we just want to tap into our inspirations at the time. It might be a promo pack. We might make an expansion. We might make a spin-off game using maybe some of the mechanisms from Red Rising. I really don't know. We're kind of waiting and seeing at that point. And plus, the original game just came out a few months ago, so we're still learning about what the market is for Red Rising tabletop games. Dave says, any idea when the Wingspan Android app will be out? I have no idea, Dave. I appreciate the question, but all of the Wingspan digital stuff is coordinated by Monster Couch, a completely different company. So we only know stuff when they let everybody know the news about things like that. So I don't know. It sounds like Brian was confused that he thought it was Wednesday already. No, it is definitely still Tuesday. I am just here early because I won't be available at this time slot tomorrow to do my normal live cast. Zach has a spoiler question about the second Tapestry expansion. And I'm not going to say anything about that expansion yet. We haven't even, you know, released Rolling Realms yet because we're waiting for the freight shipments for that to arrive. But I am eagerly awaiting for the Tapestry expansion to both ship and arrive. So we're going to enter a very uncertain period in the near future where the Tapestry expansion, the second expansion, will soon try to ship out of China. And it will probably take a while to do so. That means that production is complete, but for Rolling Realms, it took nearly 2 months for it to actually ship out of China after it was ready, just because there weren't containers, there weren't ships available. So we're at that stage. We'll be at that stage, I think, next week for the Tapestry expansion. And then it'll be a matter of how long does it take to actually ship? How long does it take to be received? So we're just trying to be patient on it. And once we have some more solid dates, that's when we will officially start talking about what that expansion entails. Isaac asked how the weather is here in St. Louis today. Very hot. Very hot week in St. Louis today. Very sunny, but also very hot. Tony says I caught him off guard as well. Tim is here from Scotland, our developer for the Tapestry game. Everybody's Wednesday confused. This is definitely Tuesday, folks. I'm just here a little early this week. Isaac says, what games are you playing lately? Yes, that's always on my list. I played Concordia for the probably dozenth time last week and always have fun with Concordia. It's one of those games that I don't get excited about until someone suggests it. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, let's play Concordia because it's so easy to remember how to play Concordia thanks to all the rules being on the cards. I love that aspect of Concordia. Also, Megan and I finished our 24-episode game of campaign of My City, a Reiner Knizia series of games, or game that is played in a series, and I really, really enjoyed it. We both really enjoyed it. Megan dominated and won by quite a bit. My hat's off to her for doing that, but it played wonderfully, and one of the great things about it is that we played it 2 players, and there are enough components in the box for 4 players. And so we handed it off, we repackaged everything and handed it off to 2 friends who will now be able to play through the entire campaign, 2 players, just like we did. So that's a really neat thing about My City. Also played Brew for the first time, a custom dice worker placement game. I have a video about that coming in maybe about a month. I'm well ahead of schedule on my videos at this point. And Blabble, a very interesting limited information, language-driven cooperative game where each player has a different language that they're speaking and trying to instruct all the players to construct a certain thing on the board. Very unique game. I've not played anything like it before, and I thought it was really, really clever. So I'll talk about that in a video soon as well. Carol says she actually gets to listen live since it's Tuesday. Probably not getting to many live casts with the school year starting. Yeah, school year is starting for those of you with kids. I hope that process is going well and that your kids are safe and wearing masks in school so they can stay safe and keep you safe. But yeah, I hope I don't know. I wonder how that feels for a parent. Does it feel good to send your kids off to school because maybe in some ways you don't have to entertain them all day, keep them occupied? At the same time, is it hard because you're sending your kids away to school, especially in the time of the pandemic? How are you, those of you with kids, handling that right now? Richard is here. He says he is redesigning a card game with Take That without the rule of a player blocking the player doing it on them. He says, you play on my card and that becomes your card, but I have no way to stop you from doing that to me. Do you think that's a bad idea for a game? It's hard for me to comment on ideas for games, Richard, but what I can say is that there's a game that I really like called Gugong that uses a worker placement system kind of similar to that, where you're playing cards essentially as workers. And when you do, you take the card that was previously there. So if I'm playing a card, on an action space, there's already a card on that space that is no longer associated with any player. It could be, you could do it that way, but I'm placing a card there, and then I take the card that I'm replacing, and it's a really cool mechanism. So I don't know exactly how your game works. It's really hard to comment on ideas because really you have to get it to the table. Everything in your head is so different than how it will actually play on the table. But I'd recommend looking into Gugong. That's Gugong. Donna says, does that mean Rolling Realms has shipped so close to pre-release? Yeah, Donna, Rolling Realms was actually finished with production back in May, and then it waited 2 months to actually get on a ship. And actually, there were two ships sending Rolling Realms, and then more than that, actually, because we have four different fulfillment centers. So Rolling Realms is currently at many of the fulfillment centers, or at least two of them. Yeah, it's at two of them right now, but it's waiting to arrive in Canada and in the US. And we're not going to start the pre-order until it's either arrived or until we know it's like very, very close to arriving at our fulfillment center. So when I say shipped, I'm talking about freight shipping. I'm talking about the process of getting the game from China to our fulfillment centers in the US, UK, Canada, and Australia. But the pre-order, we won't run the pre-order and then proceed with fulfillment until it's arrived or very close to arriving at all of our fulfillment centers. So mainly the US one is the key. We're really waiting on the US one. Which actually, though, I'm glad you said that because it reminded me to check on something else. One of the reasons I love these live casts is that you all ask great questions and get me to check in on things that I may have forgotten to do. David says, I know you love Panda, but given the state of co and cost of shipping now, as I'm talking about right now, have you given a thought to changing to a domestic production company? The thought I've had isn't changing companies, but the thought I've had is trying to work with Panda to see. As I've discussed this with Panda over the years, but seeing if they would consider opening a facility or a partial facility, like an assembling facility, in the U.S. Or in North America, anywhere. It's a Canadian company, so it could be in Canada as well. Because I really trust Panda. I think Panda does a wonderful job at every level with communication, with quality, vetting different providers of materials and components. And so, whatever I do, I want to continue to work with Panda. But I would love to work with Panda a little closer to home for some of the reasons that you state there. Yeah. And one of the reasons that you did mention here, David, is environmental sustainability. Because there is a large cost to producing games far away, because then you have to ship them around the world to the vast majority of people who are buying those products. So that is a major consideration among many other environmental considerations that I've been thinking a lot about lately. We've tried to be environmental and eco-friendly company for a long time now. It's always been important to me. But as we've grown and make more and more stuff and use more and more of these materials that impact the environment, I thought more and more about it, especially in terms of things that are just disposable, like shrink wrap and plastics. Things like that. So I will have a blog post coming soon that details how we are doing for each of our games in terms of eco-friendliness. And I would say we're not doing great. We're not doing well really at all. I would give us maybe an F or a D on a grading scale for those things. But there's plenty of room for improvement and things that we can do to improve. But I'm just fact-checking some of those things with Panda to see what Panda is doing and what Panda can do before I make that post. Chad says it was cool meeting Joe. Yeah, Joe, my coworker, our director of operation, director of communications, was here last week on last week's live cast. So if you missed last week and you're tired of seeing me talk, Joe was the main feature last week on last week's live cast. And that video is also on Facebook, also on YouTube too. Freddie says, do you play on Board Game Arena or live with people when you look at new games? I mean, I try to play games on the table. That's my preferred way to play. But I do play games on occasion every couple of weeks on Board Game Arena, and I do it live. I do it with a few friends across the country. We get on Discord, and so we can see each other when we're doing it, and then we play the games on Board Game Arena in real time. Yeah. Cynthia says, Cynthia from MeepleSource says, she says, I'm camping this week and decided to try the Wingspan app for iPhone for the first time this morning, and it's so fantastic, beautiful, and intuitive. I usually don't have time to play iPhone games at home. Yeah, I'm the same as you, Cynthia. I used to play them a little bit more on my iPad, really, than my iPhone, but it's very, very rare that I do that now. And I'm so glad you're having a good experience with that and that it works well on the iPhone. The iPhone is such a small device that it's hard to imagine playing a game like Wingspan on it, but I'm glad it's working for you. I'm glad I trust Monster Couch to have done a great job on that. Elaine says that they received Cascadia and Calica last week and got Cascadia to the table on the weekend. So many CA words. Great simple game. Have you played either? I haven't played Cascadia. I played Calico 2 times. And did a video about it. It ended up not really being a game for me. It felt like one of these games that had there were so many things that I felt like I could do and that I wanted to do and that I wanted to achieve, and then the game just gets really really punishing the longer you play. But it is a beautiful game. I love games about cats. However, if you play Calico and maybe feel a little bit of the same way, I'd highly recommend the Whatnot Cabinet. Because I had the complete opposite feeling with the Whatnot cabinet. I felt, well, similar feeling at the beginning of the game. You feel like you can do anything with your Whatnot cabinet. And then by the end of the game, you've actually done a lot of the things that you wanted to do because of the range of choices that you had available to you. So just a little call out there. If you play Calico and you like the art style, you like the aesthetic, you like the simplicity of it, but it ended up feeling too punishing for you, I highly recommend the Whatnot cabinet. Amit says, after gaining a lot of experience, what is the one thing that you may change, add, or remove from Scythe? That's an interesting question. Well, the one kind of official mark on Scythe is that there were a few combinations, faction player map combinations, that in the hands of an experienced player are kind of broken. They just are able to move through the game a little too fast. And so I think I would revisit those combinations and look at exactly why that happens with those combinations, because it's both the faction mat, the player mat, and really where the faction starts out on the board, and examine why that's the case and try to avoid that so that we don't have to have like a special banned list for those combinations. It's only two combinations. It's in the rule books on our website if you want to check it out. I would try to avoid that. So I think that would be the one thing, the main thing that I would do there. Yeah, that's the main thing. Yeah. Carol says, as a parent and a teacher, it's super rough. I asked the question about what's it like as a parent to send your kids off to school at these times. And Carol says, as a parent and teacher, it's super rough since we live in an area with a lot of anti-mask people. Lots of anxiety this year, though. Usually there is a combination of excitement and sadness. Love summer with the family. So kind of a bittersweet sense to it. Yeah. Ivan says, what's the main subject today? There isn't a really main subject today, although I'm glad you said that, Ivan, because I do have a main visual that I wanted to show today, and that is that I received the sample. So this is one of the trays. This is the setup tray in the Wingspan nesting box that we're working on. And it's been in the samples have been in black so far, but with so colorful of a box, black seemed a little dark for it. And so I wanted to try a white insert to see how it looked. And I think it looks fantastic, especially with all the colors inside of it. I think it looks great. And whereas I wouldn't normally gravitate towards a white insert, the inside of the box, the nesting box, is so colorful that adding a different color or even the same color, I think would clash or look a little bit too much. And so I think the white container looks really good. The other thing I want to show you is the type of container that holds the food and eggs in the game. And this was I didn't realize that this was a concern until Joe and I play tested a game of Wingspan using these containers, and we realized that we made them so deep to hold so many tokens that you can't see the tokens that are inside the container. And so there are a couple things that we can do. I could make more shallow containers so that it's easier to look over the top and see what's inside. But one of the options I wanted to look into was a clear plastic version of the container, and that's what I have here today. So on the table, you can see everything that's inside of it. So picture yourself across the table. Like from this angle, if this were solid, you wouldn't be able to see these resources. Even if it's not that far away, you can't see it because it's so deep. But with this clear, it's kind of an opaque because it's a fairly thick plastic. You can see everything that's inside. The eggs don't really matter. You can just reach for any egg, but it's the food they're so low in the containers here. And so we're looking at this as an option. I was worried that it would look cheap, but I think it actually looks pretty good. And again, with all the components inside of it, I think it's very colorful and looks fine. But I wanted to show that to you in case you had any thoughts about the white or the clear versions of those trays. Michael says we're going to do an escape room today. Any tips? I would recommend, I don't know, I'm not great at escape rooms, but I would recommend working on tasks in pairs if you can. And so not everyone on one task and not individual people on one task, but people in pairs, because I think you could play off each other really well and move along at a much faster pace if you work in pairs. That's been my experience. Elaine says divide and conquer, which is kind of similar to that. Arafat says, which newly released games are you most looking forward to? I am terrible at looking at like upcoming games. It's a good question. It's a great question, but I am not very good at remembering what games are coming up. The closest thing I can get to that is like looking at which games I've backed on Kickstarter or GameFound or that I pre-ordered and that are coming soon. But I don't even. I'll say this: I have a couple games that I want to play. Falling Skies, Tinder Blocks. I want to play. Oh, what is the game? It's on my table over here. I'm forgetting that one, and there's one other one that I'm also forgetting. That's how bad my memory is for these things. But I'll say Tinder Blocks, and I believe it's Falling Skies is the name of the game. It's behind a wall here. I can't see it. But they're games that I have, and that I'm looking forward to playing. But what about you? Maybe those of you all are better at anticipated games. I hope Rolling Realms is on your list because that is a game that I can say right now is coming up very soon. Our pre-order for that is coming up very, very soon. But yeah, what other games are you looking forward to that are being released soon or that you're receiving soon from things that you pre-ordered or crowdfunded? Tony says, what are my thoughts on the Spider-Man No Way Home? Well, Tony, it was so hard. I really wanted to watch this trailer. I really still want to. But for Marvel movies or really any movie that I'm really, really excited about, I've learned not to watch the trailer if I know I'm already going to watch it because I don't want to spoil anything. And trailers, I think, do a really bad job at revealing things, even little moments that happen fairly late in the movie. So as much as I want to watch that trailer, I'm going to wait till the movie comes out before I learn anything about it. I even know too much from seeing the stills. Like I don't want to know anything about these movies when I go into them. I want it to be a complete surprise. Let's see. Juicer says, Stillmar's expansions are always big expansions. Not always. We have for Viticulture, we have some small card-only expansions, like More Visitors, Rhine Valley, but sometimes. Is there a reason why you don't like to publish small expansions, like just a small deck of more cards? Actually, yeah, well, there's an example there. I wouldn't say all of our expansions are big. Sometimes we do expansions like I don't know, it's kind of a middle ground. We have big expansions for sure. Like we had the Rise of Fenris, that was a pretty big expansion. And then we have kind of the middle level expansions that are like. That are kind of like Invaders from Afar or some of the Wingspan expansions. And then we have light expansions like More Visitors or Visit from the Rhine Valley. So I think it just depends on what's right for the game at that time and the most fun idea we have for people. I missed a question. Facebook is scrolling a little bit too fast here. But Gerald says, have I played the solo version of Rolling Realms yet? And I have not, but I might because I really do the solo versions of our games. Like Morton handles them. But I think he did a great job with it. I've heard great things from reviews. And in fact, all the reviews now, or many of the advanced copy reviews, are now available for Rolling Realms. So feel free to go check them out on our website if you're curious about what reviewers are thinking about Rolling Realms. People are saying they actually like the clear tray. Yeah, I was genuinely surprised by how clean and nice it looked. I think part of it is that the opaqueness actually makes it look a little more polished. But it is really nice to be able to see what's in there. So we're exploring that option. I'm also going to explore the shallow version of the tray to see if that works better too. And white, just to clarify so white is definitely here just for the setup tray because you only need this tray for setup and then it's done. But if this clear version ends up not working for some reason, or maybe the white shallow version looks better, it will be this would be white in a more shallow version, not black. And Jim says we'll eventually have to release a chocolate one too, just like the little chocolate resource containers that we have. John says Glenmore 2 just came in for me. Excited to get that one to the table. Any tips for that one? I love Glenmore 2. Really, really love it. I actually posted my top 10 favorite games of all time as of right now, this past weekend. It's on my personal blog and my YouTube channel. Glenmore 2 had made the previous list, got bumped off it a little bit, but is still in my top 20, I would say. Love that game. Any tips for it? I would say don't be daunted by the amount of content in the box. There's a lot of different modules and things, and there's plenty of time to go through those modules. But even without those modules, the core game itself is really, really solid. In fact, I don't know if we've found a module that we've played and been like, okay, we're always playing with this module. It hasn't felt that way. So I would say just have fun with the core game for a little while, and then if you want, you can explore those modules. They add just a little thing, so it really doesn't add all that much. It's not cumbersome to add those things. Joshua says he's playtesting the alpha version of Tapestry on Board Game Arena. It's looking awesome. That's great to hear. Yeah, I played the private alpha version, and it needed quite a bit of work at that stage, but I'm glad to hear that it's in alpha and that you're having fun with it. And I appreciate you doing that so that we can get a great version available for beta and then fully available for everybody on Board Game Arena in the near future. It's been in the process for a long time. Zach says, how well does the clear container work if you are sitting on any of the non-three food sides? Yeah, that would be a little tricky, but the good news, and that's a good question, at a minimum, there will be two of these containers on the table. So you'll have two of them. Hopefully, one will be fairly handy and oriented in a way that you can actually see the food side of things. If we do three, then there could be as many as three on the table. But there won't be just one. I think that would be a problem if there were just one on the table. And for those of you who don't know, again, these are containers that we're thinking about for the Wingspan nesting box. The nesting box, yeah. What else is coming up here? Chat says for the food bird trays, if you went with white, could you have each food icon embossed into the side of the tray next to each well? We could. Maybe. I don't actually know if they can be printed on the sides. I know they can be printed on the top, but it's the side that is the worrisome part. The downside there is that it takes away some of the modularity of the game. Like later on, it is possible we will add more food to Wingspan in future expansions. And if so, some of these compartments will need to double up. And so it makes it a little bit less flexible for the future if we do that. And I don't know, like in real time as you're playing the game, I don't know if the icons would actually help out all that much. It really needs to be at a glance, very intuitive. You look over, you want a red token, you can just reach almost absentmindedly and grab the red food. In my opinion, Gerald says, you see, my latest top 10, it had eight light games. Are you going off medium heavy games like Sulken and AFFO? I don't know what AFFO is, but let me see. I want to see if that's actually true. How many? So we might have different definitions of light or medium or heavy. Heavy games have never really been my thing. Let's see, I have Space Base at number 10. I'd say that's a medium weight game. Fantasy Realms is lighter. Mysterium Park is lighter. The Mind is lighter. The Isle of Cats is a medium weight game. Ra is a medium weight game. Roll Player is a medium weight game. Quax is a medium weight game. Magic the Gathering is a medium weight game. And Dune Imperium is a medium weight game. So I would say, by my definition, there are three light games on this list and seven medium weight games and no heavy games. Maybe Dune Imperium arguably could be a heavyweight game, but I think it's on the same weight class of like Isle of Cats or Space Base. But I would say, yeah, I mean, I'm a medium weight gamer. That's my typical style of designing, my typical style of playing games. Vittorio says very kindly that they love my games. Thank you. He says, I've always wondered if different designers ever collaborate. I can see the practical difficulties in that, but as a board gamer, I'd love to see what collaborations could create from my favorite designers. What are your thoughts on that? I have worked on it with some collaborations in the past. I worked with Uwe Rosenberg on an expansion to Viticulture. I worked with Kai Stark and Ryan Lopez on two different expansions for Scythe. I also worked with Alexander Schmidt on co-designing Red Rising. So I had some collaborations with old and new designers. I spent quite a bit of time developing Wingspan with Elizabeth. She's definitely the core designer, but I spent a lot of time helping her out with creating the engine building aspect of the game, which wasn't present in the original version of the game. So I have had fun collaborating with the designers. I think the one problem that can arise here, Vittorio, is if you try to think of your two favorite designers, they are probably good designers because they are good at working independently. They're good at doing their own thing as being the lead designer. And when you put two lead designers together, I don't know if that always works out. I think it's probably pretty rare that that would work out. So that's one of the reasons why I haven't really tried to do that at this point. Rather, I've either taken the lead and maybe worked alongside. Like even when Uwe Rosenberg designed a bunch of cards for Viticulture, for the More Visitors expansion, he kind of just brainstormed a bunch of ideas, and then I went and honed them and made them sync with the actual principles of the game. It was super helpful for him to do that because he created a huge list of cards in a very short amount of time. And so in a way, I guess he was the lead designer for that, and then I was more the developer. I think it just t tends to work one way or the other, not when you have two lead designers on a project. There are exceptions to that, but that's generally what I've seen. James says the white insert is a much better look, and don't worry, the white insert isn't going anywhere. This will be a white insert for this setup tray. But he says I do understand the clear insert's advantage for in-game when you're reaching for some tokens, you need to be able to see them. He says, I confess I don't separate the food. Would love to see a shallow version. We are definitely going to test a shallow version. I am like you, James. I don't separate my food tokens. But we, and for a while, we were going to do two different containers. We're going to do one for separation, one not for separation. But we realized at some point that for those of us who don't care about separating, we can just toss them in any of these slots. You don't have to separate them into the slots. So a slotted container, a compartmentalized container, works for both types of people. That's why we went with it. Giovanni says, is it easy to get the dice out of the setup tray? It is easy enough. I would say it is not quite as easy as I would like it to be. Like you can't just push them out because there isn't room to do it. But it is easy to pick up this first one. There's a little finger hold there. So you can get the first one. Once you get the first one out, it's easy to take out the other one. So I would say it takes like 2 seconds instead of 1 second, but it is good enough, in my opinion, given the space that we have. Richard says, am I going to Gen Con next month? I hope you have fun, Richard, but no, I'm not going to Gen Con. Quint says, from your company standards to games that you're looking that you don't want hidden movement. I don't know where you're exactly getting that we don't want hidden movement, Quint. Because one of my favorite games is Scotland Yard, and Scotland Yard has hidden movement. I think maybe you've heard me say something like, I love Scotland Yard so much that I don't think that we could do a hidden movement game better than that. I may have said something like that. I guess that's somewhat true. Like when I love a game with a certain mechanism, for us to be able to, for us, for me to want to spend our time, my time and energy and resources on another game with that same mechanism, it needs to do something that's really, really unique. And I really don't know if hidden movement can be done better than Scotland Yard. I have played other hidden movement games, and they add layers of complexity and complications to it. And I think that ends up taking away from what is wonderful about Scotland Yard, which is how simple the hidden movement is, with the emergent complexity during the game of trying to figure out where Mr. or Mrs. X is. So, but I don't think I've said, and correct me if I'm wrong, maybe I've said that and I've forgotten. I have a terrible memory. By default, I am not against a hidden movement game. I'm just not actively looking for one. Justin from Room 51 says, one of my professors once said that entrepreneurs need to have calculated risk taking. Do you feel that a large part of running Stormar Games is calculated risk taking on your end? It is. Yeah, even like if you read my blog post yesterday, Justin, about advances, the advance system that we are going to implement, that we are implementing right now for designers, for new products for us, means that we are giving them money for a game that they might back out of, or a game that we might not even publish. Most likely, like, we're at a level of commitment when we offer in advance, but, you know, strange things happen in the world. You never know. So we are taking a calculated risk there that it will, everything will work out. And if it doesn't, then $10,000 is a lot of money, but it isn't going to break the company if it doesn't work out and we don't end up getting royalties on that $10,000 to make up for it. So that is one of many, many, like, every day is just a series of calculated risks. Yeah. Jared says, A Feast for Odin. Yes, A Feast for Odin, I love the game. A lot. See, one of the things about me making a top 10 list every 6 months, like my top 10 favorite games of all time as of right now, is that sometimes I will go 6 months without playing one of my favorite games. It's still one of my favorite games, I still love it, but I haven't played it, and so when it comes time to make the list, I don't think of it actively at that moment as one of my favorite games. So I am sure A Feast for Odin will reappear on the list. I'm sure Glenmore 2 will reappear on the list. Sometimes I think it's helpful for me to take a little bit of a break from a game and then come back to it and remember how much I love it for it to appear on one of those lists. Grace says, is there a game that you had an opportunity to publish and passed on it, then later played it and wished you had published it? There are some games that were pitched to us that in some form that ended up being very successful. One of those games is Anachrony. Now, Anachrony is a very heavy game. It isn't one that we would have published and one that I don't regret not publishing, but it is a notable game that we passed on that went on to be very successful. I am pretty sure that Luke Laurie pitched Dwellings of Eldervale to us early on in the design process. At the time, I believe he pitched it as a Euphoria spinoff game, and I passed on. At the time, I wasn't looking for Euphoria spinoff games. I wasn't looking for a four-player only game either. But I'm glad to see that doing so well in a very different form. I think we would have ended up constraining it within the Euphoria format instead of it becoming what it eventually began. So I don't really regret that one either. I don't know if I can think of one offhand of a game that was pitched to us that in hindsight I really regretted. There are some games that I think fit into the Stillmire Games mold that I wish had been pitched to us, that we would have considered. I have a video about that if you want to check it out on my YouTube channel. A video about top games or my favorite games from other publishers that we would have published or that we could have published, things like that. Let's see. I'm going to spend a few more minutes on this live chat. It actually went a little bit longer than I thought today. Thank you for joining me on the spur of the moment on a Tuesday instead of a Wednesday this week, because I won't be available at this exact time tomorrow. Gerald says, which one gives you the most enjoyment? Which one gives the highest sense of achievement? First question is, which one gives me the most enjoyment? Running a successful business, designing games, or developing games? And which one gives me the highest sense of achievement? Really, I know it's fun to try to pick an answer for one of those questions, like which thing do I enjoy the most, which one makes me feel like I have the most achievement. But really the answer for me, really truly the answer for me, is the combination of all those things. I really, really love the variety in my job. So I'm going to choose option 4, variety. I love that my job entails moments of development, moments of design, and moments of running a business and coordinating all the things that go into running a business and marketing. I mean, there's so many different levels to what it takes to run Stillmire Games. And a lot of it is handled by Alex and Joe now, to give them due credit, and Christine and Dave and all the other people that work for us and with us. But yeah, really, really, truly, it's the variety that I love. I haven't missed any. I've covered the topics like recent posts and videos that I've done, games that I played recently, things that we're working on, some of our games. One thing that I did mention is that a friend had a fully vaccinated Low Country boil the other day. It's an annual tradition for this friend to get friends together and boil a variety of different things. And one of the fun moments that came out of this year's boil is that a crawfish, my friend made Cajun crawfish for this boil. After the event, after we were done eating, my friend made realized that one of the crawfish had gotten free and was still alive. And so the next day when we went disc golfing, we freed the crawfish, the survivor crawfish, into a local pond where I hope he or she will survive as long as possible. So Quince is now quoting from me. Here's my poor memory coming through. Okay. Okay, yeah, I think Quince, you say it well here. So this is what I have written on our website a long time ago. I said, Jamie typically does not enjoy stock market games, tactical combat games, or games that primarily focus on combat war, hidden movement games, party games, take that games, punishing games, programming games, and dungeon crawlers, but there are exceptions to those preferences. Yeah, I would say that's true. I don't generally enjoy those games, but there are exceptions to those preferences. Yeah, I think that last line is pretty important there for that statement. Peter dropped in to say hi. Peter, whose project Flamecraft is doing spectacularly well on Kickstarter right now. Congratulations on that, Peter. I am proud to be a backer of it, and it looks awesome. Richard says, "Where are you from?" I'm in St. Louis. Our company is based in St. Louis. Chad says, "Who would I say is?" I need to make a quick note here, Chad. Who would I say is the greatest villain and hero in all of literature? That is a great question, a very tough one to answer on the spur of the moment. Oh man. Because often when I think about villains, I think more about movies and TV shows. One that comes to mind, just off the top of my head, there was a book that I read, I believe from someone named Austin, I'm forgetting his last name, and I believe it's called Soon I Will Be Invincible, and it follows a super villain who's trying to be like a better supervillain. And it's just a great book. I don't remember all that much about the character, but I remember really, really liking the book. And it is primarily focused on a villain. So I would say that one for the villain. Hero, I'll go with Darrow from Red Rising. He is such an anti-hero. Like he does terrible things, but he also does good things. But that makes him interesting to me as a character to follow. Garden says, when are you thinking of designing a game? When I'm thinking of designing a game, do you play games similar to it? And what do you design? Similar to what you want to design for ideas and inspiration. Yeah, that's a great question, Garden. Absolutely, yeah. I both look back on games that I've already played in that genre, whether it's thematically or mechanically in that genre, but I also play more games in that genre and I research games. I see what people have said about and what are talking about games in that genre because seeing what people think is very influential for me as well. So yes, absolutely, all of the above. I look at what I played, I play more, and I look at what people have said about those games using those mechanisms, those themes. Tony says, "If I played Golden Ticket, the Willy Wonka themed game from Buffalo Games, it has very realistic looking chocolate Wonka bars. You would love them, and I know you've talked about a chocolate themed game. That's pretty cool. No, I haven't played that, and I love the idea of the idea of very realistic looking chocolate bars in the game. That's pretty cool." Speaking of which, I should do a chocolate of the day. I think it's going to be a chocolate covered peanuts today. Or maybe some ice cream with chocolate in it. It's very hot here in St. Louis, so ice cream with chocolate sounds really good. Chris says, Austin Grossman. Thank you. Yeah, I had a feeling it was Austin Grossman, but something else. I was confusing him with Lev Grossman, who was another great author of the Magician series. But Austin Grossman, yeah, Soon I Will Be Invincible. A book I really, really enjoy. Thank you again, everyone, for joining me for this impromptu live cast today. Again, I wasn't going to be available tomorrow during this time, and I really value these chats. I really, really do. It means so much to me when you join in, even if you're just watching, if you're commenting. It means a lot to me. So thank you, and I will see you next Wednesday. Take care. Bye.